Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode right here of The Joy of Logistics. First of all, I want to thank each and everybody for joining us today. And again, it's an episode I've been looking forward for quite some time now. Yeah, it's going to be absolutely epic. That's something I know for sure. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time and you're asking yourself, okay, Joy of Logistics, Christoph, who's that? Allow me to quickly introduce myself. My name is Christoph, I'm the host and founder of the Joy of Logistics podcast series, which is available on Spotify and YouTube, amongst other. And reason why I created this podcast is I want to provide a stage for out-of-the-box thinking people, companies, products, and solutions, and to make this all accessible for not just everybody right here on LinkedIn, but in general, because obviously when there is like a challenge or a problem in Europe, it's likely that you're going to face the same challenge also in North America, Asia, Australia, wherever you might be located. So that's basically the reason why I created this podcast episode. And quick side note here, I've seen today, just on LinkedIn, we have another 43 people that pre-registered to this event. Yeah, thank you so much. It's great to see how many people are interested in what's going on in logistics, and to learn more about everything, basically. So thank you, each and everybody, for joining us. For me, myself, my background in logistics is I've now been working a decade in logistics. I've been focusing on air and ocean freight transportation mostly. And yeah, to come full circle, I want to give back, so to speak, and that's the reason why I created this podcast. So, but without further ado, and that's also the reason why you joined us today, as you've guessed with the headline methanol, right? So what's methanol? Well, of course, at one point it's an alcohol, but given the recent studies, developments, trends, and also the need for global sustainability, also in transportation, whether it's passengers or also cargo transportation. We read a lot, you know, we read about EVs, we talk about SAF, we talk about hydrogen, of course, but we also talk about methanol. And I've always been intrigued by this topic, and I thought, hey, it's time to get an expert, you know, and I'm actually very happy that I found someone, that I found my expert on the subject matter. And to give you a little bit of information, who he is, he's been 25 years now an analyst in different research areas on both selling and buyer side. He built up the NordLB, which is a German bank, research department in 2012. He transitioned into the focus of machinery there 2019, and from 2021 onwards, he focused on energy and sustainable transportation, particularly PTX SAF, which we already spoke about with Anne-Marie Hörland from SAS Airlines. In case you missed that, you wanna check this episode out on Spotify and YouTube, and of course also hydrogen. So, if there's anybody more qualified than him, I doubt it. But I'm really happy to have him on here. Warm welcome, Mr. Thomas Wibierik. Hello, Thomas. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, hello, Christoph. first of all, a short correction. I built up the shipping research here in NordLB and not the research department.
Sorry. Okay.
However, so as you said, thanks for the invitation and the possibility to explain something regarding methanol and alternative fuels, which are quite important, as you said, especially for the future, not only short term, but more midterm and long term. We see a huge amount in different fuels over the years to come. The big question, or the $1 billion question, we would say, is which kind of fuel is the one we will see in the future, which one could be the best one, which kind of fuel will be available all over the world. So you see, mm-hmm. if you are interested in alternative fuels, in contrast to the conventional ones, to the much common ones, whether in shipping, in aviation, or in normal mobility, there are so many questions which were rising over the last months and years. And we will talk a little bit about methanol today. Are there any possibilities to use it in the future, and in which kind of use you can try to roll it out to ramp up the production, for example, mm-hmm. and which one of the alternative fuels could be the best one. From our point of view, we think methanol has a huge chance to play a role in the future, mm-hmm. but the ball is in the game now, and we will see what happens in the years to come. I think first of all we should have a look into the rear mirror. We saw, especially in the shipping industry in the past, that a lot of companies try to switch to LNG as a fuel, especially the French connection. Mm-hmm. CGM was a front runner in this case. Some others followed them. We saw it from most of the container companies, or the companies which are active in the container sector. And unfortunately, from the last 2 years, prices rose. And last year we saw this Ukraine war starting, and around all these events or negative developments, we saw also a huge break, or a huge disruption in the from the pricing situation. And especially the demand for gas rose significantly, and that had some impact also to the LNG market. And fortunately, we saw a weak demand from Asia on the economical side, which was helpful for Europe to substitute the demand for pipeline gas last year. And now the big question is what's going on now. And while we see this development on the price side or the price front, we realize that the demand for new alternatives, for alternative fuels, also rose, and that there are some shifts. Mm-hmm. And especially the methanol, the demand seems to be rising over the last months and last year. And if you also have a look to the order book and the order behavior of all of the great companies in the shipping sector, you see that there are more and more orders for dual fuel engines, for engines which can be driven with methanol. And from our point of view, it seems to be a clear shift right now. But on the other hand, if you have a look into the whole world, and if you participate in some events and conferences, and we had some talks with engine producers, also with producers of chemicals, we also realized that most of the players say, okay, we cannot say today this or that one is the fuel which will be used in the future. The common sense seems to be that in the next decade, or from 2030, 2040 on, we will see the shipping industry using a lot of fuels and different fuels, not only one fuel and not only methanol, not only LNG. Okay, LNG has a disadvantage to produce some emissions further on. And so
right.
If you try to find the way to a climate neutral or net zero path, or stepping on the net zero path, then you have to find an alternative fuel which has no or nearly no CO2 pollution.
Right, right. And as you already alluded to, Thomas, most likely it will be a mix, a fuel mix, because obviously we have different types of transportation engines. You know, if we talk about a truck compared to a big engine of a container vessel, tanker vessel, let alone airplanes, right? So there are all different demands and also different fuel intakes, obviously. So, and you already touched base, based on the Ukraine-Russian war, you know, it once again showed also the dependence on fuel, on crudes, as a basis for gasoline or for diesel, depending where you're looking at. So that's maybe once again a highlighter why we have to look into different sources of energy. I just put it like this, right? What's interesting, because at the end of the day, methanol is some sort of an alcohol. Could you allude a little bit in who came up with the idea to take an alcohol or to take methanol as a potential fuel or as a potential alternative fuel? That's something that I've been always intrigued in.
That's a nice question, because if you are interested in the history of fuels, and you dig a little bit deeper inside fuel histories, you will quite fast find out that methanol is, or also alcohols like ethanol, were used for decades in mobility, in engines. We wrote a study at the beginning of the year with a nice title, From the Racetrack to the Long Haul Route, where we painted the picture where has methanol been used in the past? We talked with one of the famous racing companies or race car producers in Stuttgart, you all know. And methanol has been used in the US INICA series for many, many years in the past. And methanol as a fuel has some some advantages in contrast to normal gasoline. You can get more power, and it's quite nice, especially if you go on the racetrack. But nevertheless, why should it be used in normal engines, or can it be used in normal engines? And you all know that shipping engines do not need high sophisticated fuels at the end of the day. They were driven with HFO and all, which will is known as the rest of the chain. And why should be methanol be used in such kind of an engine? And it's quite easy, because you can produce methanol by different ways, and you can produce it more or less climate neutral. And it's a so-called e-fuel, and you can also use methanol as an alcohol, as you said, where you can build up where an infrastructure can be used. Or can you have not to build up a complete new tank infrastructure. It is nearly available in more than 100 ports and hubs right now, and it's quite easy to receive, and there are advantages and disadvantages, and perhaps we can start with some of the advantages. As I said, it is quite easy to produce, and there are a lot of experience how you can produce it, and it's known for decades, and it's also be used in, not as a fuel, but in the chemical industry. More than two-thirds of global methanol production still went to the chemical industry as a base material for different chemicals. And if you have a look on the different chemicals, you can see as a content methanol or some alcohol is still in it. And you can burn it, and you can use it as a fuel as well. Unfortunately, methanol has also some disadvantages, and you know it from from some horrific stories. Do not drink methanol as an alcohol. So it's highly toxic. Yeah.
Right. And,
that's also a problem in its handling. So methanol is quite easy to fill in a tank and to be handled in the tank equipment, but you have to be educate also the crew, and you have some more crewing costs handle with some of these basics. And as I said, it is quite toxic, and it burns with nearly an invisible flame. That's when you remember some of these competitions from motor racing, and you see this helmet and well-protected guys who do the tanking sequences. And at the end of the day, it's quite dangerous to handle, and you have to organize a lot to use mm-hmm. it in a normal way. And another disadvantage, but it's not quite clear whether it is an advantage or disadvantage. It is compared to the quite common fuels, you need more methanol compared to diesel or to gasoline.
It's, oh wow!
Has only half of the I think it was the heating value. I cannot remember so quite now. You can fill it into your tank system, but you need compared to normal fuels, you need a tank which is quite twice than a normal one. Mm-hmm. Or, wow. as an alternative, you only had much more tank periods. So if you drive by one tank filling a long haul route mm-hmm. and you use methanol, then you have to fill up your tanks twice. But you can handle it, and it's possible to find a way out of this dilemma. And the advantages of alternative fuels are given, and
Let me just jump into that real quick, because that's something I've never heard before with regards to it's not durability, I'm lacking the word here, it's the distance, I would say, that you can go with. And actually, John also commented here. John, thank you so much for tuning in, by the way. Thank you also for your comment. John said, it's way easier to produce methanol, and it has a lower combustion temperature. That's actually based on what I've heard. It's the opposite, like LPG, which is also some sort of special gas that you can actually fuel, at least in Germany, your cars or your trucks with. Because what I know is for LPG, it burns on a way higher combustion temperature. But it's interesting to think about it. I mean, let's just say you have a regular car or truck, doesn't matter in that sense. And let's say you have you can go on a full tank for 800 kilometers on regular diesel or gasoline. Now, what you just said, Thomas, is if I would take the same truck or vehicle, whatever, and fuel it up with methanol, either I have to fill up my car or my truck more often, or I just won't make it to the reachability of 800 kilometers in one route. And that's quite interesting, because especially if you think about it, I mean, you know, on mainland you have gas stations all over the place, right? So if you're running low on fuel, okay, yeah, doesn't really matter. You just pull over, refill your tank, and boom, off you go. However, if you're on deep sea, talking about container vessels, tankers, whatsoever, I could imagine it's quite hard to refill that easy. Especially given the vast amount of product that you're taking in, and that's also a question from Monica. I want to bring up here real quick. Monica, thank you so much for joining, and also thank you so much for your question. Monica asks, so this means vessels will have a higher fuel consumption with methanol.
Yeah, that's correct. It's nearly doubled.
Wow. Okay, that's crazy. But
on the other hand, as you mentioned, some more stops. You cannot compare it with trucks on normal highways or in Europe or US. If you have a look to the loops in the container business, you see that they do not sail from Singapore or from Asia to Europe without any stop. And so they have different stops on the loop. Mm-hmm. And why not use it as a tank stop as well? So this aspect, mm-hmm. I think it's not a disadvantage. The disadvantage which we see right now or at current is the availability of methanol worldwide. And especially if you are talking about alternative fuels and green fuels, which we all need in the future, is that you have to bear in mind that the global methanol production at current is estimated of something about or around or a little bit more than 100 million tons. And if you see what has to be used or which we all need to switch transport sectors to alternative fuels, and then you also have to try to switch to fuels which were produced or will be produced in the green way, then the demand is amazing.
Quite high, probably.
quite high. And it's nice. It is. It will not only double. It will take the fivefold or sixfold of the production we have now.
Wow.
And thinking about it and the production lines, you have to invest a lot to ramp the production, to ramp up the production, and also to ramp up the green production or the production of green fuels. And you have a huge demand, but find or the same supply or to bring the supply and demand side in an equilibrium, to equalize it, then it's a hard challenge, I would say, from today's perspective.
Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, if I understood you correctly, it's on the one hand side, it's more environmental friendly. It's respectively easier in parentheses to implement and to execute, not only for public transportation, but also for large cargo transportation and combustion engines. Okay. You also already alluded to that there is a very high demand of methanol, let alone green methanol. So I would say, especially in the beginning, we would have to favor methanol in general way more than green methanol, I suppose, simply because we have to feed the demand at one point. So I wouldn't be surprised if we also have to take advantage of all sorts of different colors, like blue methanol, green methanol. I don't know if there's something like black methanol, actually, but that's something that we've learned at the hydrogen podcast that I did earlier this year, where my guest Luke Johnson also alluded to that there are all sorts of different colors and color spectrums out there. But I suppose, especially with methanol, and especially as you alluded to, shipping lines that are already placing orders and buying not the smallest ships with methanol tanks or methanol powered engines, at one point they need to be refilled. And John, thank you so much for the information. John just added that Maersk alone has ordered 25 methanol-powered container vessels. And those are not just the ones that are floating across the Rhine, let's say. So I suppose that there is really a huge demand of methanol. And Do you happen to know how fast or how easy, for lack of a better term, it is to ramp up the production?
That's another $1 billion question. No, he was completely right. But not only Maersk is ordering vessels or with dual fuel engines or with methanol ready engines. Mm-hmm. I had a look into the DNV statistics recently, and we see that there are some of the first methanol vessels which has been delivered or which will be delivered quite recently, and they said that more than 200 vessels in the order book and will be delivered over the years to come, and I think until 2028. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge fleet. And if you have a look into the sectors, most of them are ordered by companies from the container sector. And we see some ferries which use methanol, especially in the Baltic Sea. Where you can see how to handle it, and they can bring up their experience into the market, and they talk with the engine producers like MAN or Wärtsilä and all of the others. And so it's a good process to go on this green way. And the big question is still how fast can the production of green methanol be ramped up, and how much will a liter or a ton of methanol cost in the future? And We recently saw some press information given by Maersk that they have just another contract with Equinor to produce or to step into the methanol production. And we think it's the correct way to build up a supply chain by your own. And you have the contracts with your partners. And I'm not quite sure, but I remember that Maersk told some months ago that they have 6 to 9 different companies which will deliver or which should deliver green methanol next years to Maersk, and that's very interesting to see how this, or one of the most important players in the sector, is saving the supply for itself.
And I think what we've also seen, and I believe that's one of the articles that you're alluding to, Thomas, is I believe they are, I think even with, I'm not sure if it was Saudi Aramco or Shell, but like really a very big oil producing company, they have been teaming up with, I believe in total it was like 11 companies to build somewhat like a very big, let's just call it a gas station for vessels. Around the Suez Canal, and unfortunately I don't remember precisely anymore how they intend to ramp up the supply. However, from a strategic perspective, I mean they couldn't place it better, right? I mean, with the Suez Canal, basically every vessel going to Asia from Europe or coming to Europe from Asia has to go there, right? So at one point, it's pretty interesting to see that also a carrier as such, which might be or which would be a potential client for those products, is investing not only the infrastructure but also the production of these products. So that's actually quite a unique step in my opinion, and at the same time it's also highly interesting to see what they are able not only to mobilize, but also what they're willing to invest. You know, finding the right partners, finding the right locations, obviously. Just like in real estate, I believe also for gas stations, location is the number one thing. So that's pretty interesting to see. And I'm also pretty curious to see who else will join them, because up until now, it seems a little bit that not every vessel operator, but many vessel operators, each and everyone has a little bit their own way to go, so to speak, as you already alluded to, CMA CGM, the French connection goes with LNG. Then we have Maersk, which seems to try a little bit of all, meaning I believe they have a few ordered on LNG. They got also the methanol stuff going. Then I read an article with Costco that are thinking about the electric vessels, maybe not just on the deep sea, but especially on Chinese rivers, that are thinking about to implement it there, right? Maybe that's also something to go into detail on, because obviously some are also, you know, flirting around with hydrogen, obviously, although it has even less production capacity, or not production capacity, but much more supply compared to methanol. So is there, if you compare maybe also hydrogen powered vehicles towards methanol powered, maybe even towards purely electric powered, are there specifically any advantages or disadvantages other than that you could basically keep the same infrastructure in terms of tank and combustion engines?
You're right. It's the best way shift or to switch to alternative fuels is if you can use the infrastructure or similar infrastructure, mm-hmm. than we still have. And discussing about alternative fuels, about alternative engine systems, about the use of battery systems and storage energy. There are so many points you have to realize, and why can you cannot use batteries in airplanes or in huge vessels? Mm-hmm. It's quite easy if you compare the value of diesel and gasoline to other fuels, to batteries. You need so much space on a plane or on a vessel to bring it to the same to the same volume of energy you had from gasoline or kerosene and so on, and so it. Mm-hmm. There's no alternative to fuels or to green fuels, And you can discuss about using batteries on small ferries, for example, in the Baltic Sea, or some fjords in Norway and some seas, or for use it on rivers. That's quite clear. But on deep sea vessels, from our current perspective, it's nearly impossible. And that's why we all have to find some new fuels and alternative fuels to develop power to tweaks to X technologies further on. And I think the best way will be to develop and to discuss different kind of fuels and different kind of engine forms. And they all have some cons and pros. And at the end of the day, we will see a mixture of different fuels and different engine systems. And how you can build up a storage system for energy. Perhaps we will create new battery systems or new storage systems in the future. Who knows? It's a question of technologies and how the craftsmen and engineers are, how creative they will be in the future.
Right. Yeah, that's a great point. And there's just one thing I would like to add. That's something that came to my mind from the podcast with Luke Johnson, especially on the hydrogen, where he said at the end of the day, we will have a mix of gasoline, but energy propulsion, because at the end of the day, each and every vehicle, for lack of a better term, and each use case is just different, right? I mean, if you have cars or trucks or buses like running around in circles or driving around in circles in this instance, where you can plan everything accordingly, just like trains as well, you're much more flexible compared to a car or a truck that today loads in Hamburg, tomorrow has to go to Paris, next day it goes down to Barcelona maybe, and then all the way back, maybe even to Bucharest in Romania, right? And at the end of the day, during the whole trip, it requires some sort of fuel, because obviously if it runs empty, then it won't move anymore. And you have the same challenges, obviously, all across the globe. So the example with the truck goes as well in Australia. For instance, if a truck is loading in Sydney and has to go to Perth or to Melbourne, etc., I mean, those are pretty huge distances it has to cover, and sometimes probably even urban or rural areas where might as well not each and every fuel would even be available in the first place. Just as well, this goes also for the North American continent. I mean, if you think about it, and a truck would load cargo in Miami and only goes back and forth between Miami and Orlando, for instance, you have much more options in terms of the energy use or the fuel use compared to on day one. Monday, it's loading in Miami, has to go to, let's say, New York, from New York to Kansas City, and then to some small little villages in North Dakota. So the reason I'm pointing this out is there are just so many different use cases, and each use case has more or less their own requirement. So I agree with you. That's basically the point that I wanted to drive home here, is that we will most likely have a mix of different energy forms or fuel forms. I just put it like this.
Yeah, I would agree. Looking into the future is interesting, and we should discuss different forms, and we should think a little bit more further on, and perhaps it's not possible any longer to bring some goods from point A to point B using a truck, but perhaps we will see a transport system. You will bring it out from the production plant by a normal truck to bring it in over long distances using a combustion engine. During the US or Australia, which is that, or also within Europe. And if you have or reach a city or a town, and you remember the London city and how creative they are right now to to throw out normal cars from the city, then we will see some hubs, for example, where you can which are used by normal trucks, and from these hubs into a city you have some smaller but battery driven vehicles or lorries which are CO2 neutral, and in the over the last mile, for example, you see some bicycles or whatever, and you have to be creative, and we saw a lot of new ideas and how we can manage it in the next decades, and we will see what happens.
So if you have to, and of course I know, Thomas, nobody has a crystal ball here, but since you are so experienced with those type of e-fuels, I just put it like this, and if you would have to have your very own crystal ball for the future, what would be some requirements that you see that have to be fixed, or have to be fulfilled? Maybe that's maybe a better word here. In order to make methanol, I would say, the go to combustion fuel alternative compared to regular gasoline than it is today. What were your advice?
Yeah, given some advice is mostly hard, and to have a look into the crystal ball as well. But I think we should be often for or open for using different kind of technologies. And we still need combustion engines. We still need so-called drop-in fuels, aviation is cannot switch to battery systems for many, many years, I think. We have to ramp up the SAF production. We have to find some alternative fuels for the shipping sector. I'm not so convinced to use fuel cells for trains. There are some which are now in some test phases, but perhaps it's will be better to use battery systems in the long run. However, there are different ways in which we have to go, and we will find out a lot of alternatives, and also in the individual mobility. More than 10 years, we will see normal combustion engines. And after that, we will see for many years also the use worldwide of combustion engines. And so to walk on this net zero path, we will see a lot more production of green fuels and alternative fuels. And you also have a lot of potential. If you have a look into some areas in the US or Australia, where you have a lot of solar energy, where we can use wind energy for the to split up the different chemicals and to produce methanol or other alternative fuels by using these electrolyse systems. There are a lot of challenges, but you also see a lot of chances.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And there are also many fantastic, in my opinion, fantastic examples for companies that are willing to go literally the extra mile on that. I mean, I know there is a famous car brand that is also going, for instance, in the Atacama Desert in Chile in order to produce green, sustainable e-fuels. Other than of course Maersk, thank you Darine for this information. Darine just wrote, she agrees with Thomas, the urge to review multiple alternatives, and the CMA CGA created a $1.5 billion, I suppose, dollar funds in 2022 for energies to accelerate and diversify alternatives. So just this number alone shows the, I wouldn't say they are desperate, but shows the commitment to look out for new opportunities to new alternatives on the bottom line. You know, I mean, no whether or it doesn't matter if we're talking now about hydrogen or methanol, whatever. This all costs money. The question, though, that I'm asking myself at times is, how will this in the long run also impact the transportation price? Because obviously, if things are, or if those fuels are more expensive than the diesel and the gasoline that they're being used right now, and of course also infrastructure, you spoke about the production that has to be ramped up, you already alluded to, Thomas, that you have or that you need or require even twice as much the amount of methanol that you would require for regular diesel, for instance. Wouldn't that trickle down at the end of the day also for transportation rates?
Yeah, have a look onto the cost side. I would totally agree. At current, using alternative fuels and new fuels, and as you mentioned, the production plant in Chile. You have high costs for 1 liter or 1 gallon at current, and normally if you scale it up you have some scale up effects over the years to come, then I'm really convinced that we will see a better competition, and you see compatible prices for alternative fuels. And on the other hand, you have the CO2 prices, which are rising over the next years. And on the one hand, fossil fuels will be more expensive in the future, and perhaps we will see some scale-up effects or hopefully we will see a lot more scale-up effects, and we will ramp up the production. Not only by by, I won't say company contracts like Maersk or some other shipping companies do right now, but over the whole world we have so many potential to use sun energy, to use wind energy or water energy system for splitting up water and to create new fuels, and why not test it, and why don't believe in it?
Right, I like that. And yeah, you made a very great point, and I think that's probably the first key to pull this whole thing off. And with that, I mean this whole thing as a global community, which at the end of the day, each and everybody is to believe in it. To believe in it, and from there, and also trust on the capabilities of craftsmanship and the engineers. On multiple times they prove that they are pretty close to being a wizard, so they can play their magic. And I'm looking forward very much to see what is up to come and how everything will play out at the end of the day. Nevertheless, Thomas, if I take a quick look onto the clock, we are already coming to an end, unfortunately. However, I also want to say, first of all, thank you very much to each and everybody for joining us, and also to you, Thomas, for sharing your information with us and taking your time out of your busy schedule today, which I highly appreciate. Now, if somebody's listening and maybe one or two have some additional questions on the topic of methanol or maybe something else, how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, it's quite easy. So you can find me on Altabi Research at LinkedIn, for example, or you can contact you for my mail account, and it's quite easy. And if don't hesitate to contact me, and you can also find me on the research site from NordLB. And if you have any further questions, so unfortunately we cannot discuss all today in just 1 hour, and we had some presentations, and perhaps if you are interested in more information, please ask.
Sounds great. That's a great ending point here. So with that being said, once again, I want to thank each and everybody for taking your time and for joining us today. Once again, fantastic conversation, highly appreciated. We'll see, maybe along the future, along the line, how methanol is developing. Maybe we make a part two on that. I'll be looking forward regardless. With that being said, I'm wishing each and everybody a fantastic evening. Thank you so much.
Thank you.